Service Radio.
Welcome everyone to the Sun Cinema Podcast, a weekly radio show that examines the highs and lows and lows and lows and lows of the medium of film through the filtered lens of Washington, D.C.'s only privately owned art house cinema. I'm your host, Jason Cauley. I'm joined, of course, by my co-hosts and the proprietors of Sun Cinema, David Cabrera and Ryan Hunter Mitchell. Gentlemen.
Our android, Jason, is only getting better. Well, he's only getting better and better at helping us out.
Sounds great today.
Yeah, he sounds really good today. Sadly, Jason has a job and is too cool to be here. We're going to probably throw together some more episodes with him. We're going to force him.
Yeah.
Because we can easily overpower Jason.
And talk trash.
But since he's not here, we're definitely going to make fun of the sound recordings we have.
Yeah, I don't know the guy.
Oh, he's our host. But look... It happens.
Well, welcome everyone to the...
Happy Halloween.
Yeah.
Well, we've got Carl from the Psychotronic Film Society on today.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the Sun Cinema Podcast.
Yeah.
I hope Carl's face is just as... It's reminiscent of everyone else's confusion at the beginning of our shows, because...
I think everyone's like, as confused as you are right now.
No, I'm always.
He's like,
confused.
Who's that guy that just introduced, and where is he?
We have a small cinema. We do a podcast every week, and that's the premise of this show. That's about all you need to know. But we want to pick your brain today,
okay?
About the wild and weird world of psychotronic film.
Yeah, you guys aren't cops, are you?
Yeah, we're just like cops.
Oh, okay.
That's a good cop backup. Where's the heat lamp?
Yeah, I should have put my fake attorney here.
That song that we heard was from Rock and Rule, the screening you did last night at Smoke and Barrel?
Bottom of the Barrel.
Bottom of the Barrel. The
Which
below
is smoke. Smoke of the Barrel, yeah.
Did you guys do this at Asylum back in the day?
No, we wanted to do it, but we didn't have access to the film.
Okay. Tell us a bit about Rock and Rule, because it's a pretty cool musical animated movie from 1983.
Around that time. Around 82 to 84. Because they made reference. There was a sly cameo by David Bowie that was not credited. But people who know the film know that there's a scene where a tall dude walks by and he's obviously David Bowie and such.
Ah. Did he do any... Did he lend his voice?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
It was just Iggy Pop, Earth, Wind & Fire, Debbie Harry, and some other... The guy that played in some other film that was...
And Lou Reed, isn't it?
Yeah. We gave away an Iggy Pop action figure.
Oh, cool.
And we gave away the movie Heavy Metal on Blu-ray.
All right.
And some other great prizes.
Was the Rock and Rule, they are animated kind of mice creatures?
They were dog creatures. And
dog creatures.
We're also a baking club, so whenever we do a film, one of us bakes a concoction that reflects the film. And last night it was cookies, kibbles, and bits.
What is that?
it was cookies that resembled kibble.
Okay.
Normally, they look delicious, but everyone kept saying, that really looks like dog food, so no one really wanted it. It was delicious, but they kept saying, I don't think I want to have any kibble.
Well, is the presentation like responsible for how you taste it then? Because if it looks like kibble.
Yeah, but somehow people just like saying, it looks too much like kibble. It's like when we do the so-called like the kitty little thing. We do the fake cat litter box. We have the granola and the Tootsie Rolls in it. Sometimes it looks too real.
You guys do that as a concoction?
We did that one time. People were like, that looks like someone had actually drizzled chocolate into the granola. It looked like some cat had just done its business. And people were like saying, I want none of that.
This is just a way cooler version of Sun Cinema, really. Because David and I used to host, or David would host a movie night at our group house, and we'd encourage people to bring food or wine or whatever that kind of tied in with the film that we were showing.
Yeah.
No one brought anything reminiscent of dog food, though.
Yeah, there were no cool baking concoctions, actually.
We've had some pretty outrageous prizes, some prizes that we've been returned because people thought they were cursed. Is that we won this last week, but we don't want it. We don't know what to do with it, so we'll give it back to you.
Oh, damn. What were those?
One was a Barbie doll. It was like a vampire film about the vampire woman versus the werewolf. And we took a Barbie doll and covered her with cloth and red food dye.
Uh-huh.
And it looked very creepy, and the people who wanted it were kind of like, well, thank you very much, but no thanks, and returned it. We got a lot of return gifts.
All right. So according, I think this is the mission statement on the DC Psychotronic Film Society website. The Washington Psychotronic Film Society is dedicated to the appreciation and defense of independent, cutting-edge, student, experimental, anime, offbeat, underground, obscure, Super 8, low-budget, classic, forgotten, must-see, and just about anything on film.
And kitsch. Yeah.
And kitsch.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
It's a good mission statement.
It's pretty broad.
Yeah, it's like, basically, I upgraded it because people kept saying, you guys should sit around watching bad films? And I said, no, we watch movies of peculiar interest.
Okay, well, I've got one for you. Have you ever seen Robert Altman's O.C. and Stiggs?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
That was I think that was from a National Lampoon
drugstore. Yeah, and it was like canned for a couple of years.
Yeah, I don't think I saw it, but I may have read it and such.
Okay, yeah, because it was a comic, like right? Wasn't like,
it was like a couple series of short stories.
Okay, yeah, I think the movie is great, but it's widely considered just terrible, including by Robert Altman himself. We showed it at the cinema. Maybe eight people made it, and they were angry. They were upset.
Did we show it twice?
I think we showed it twice.
Well, we showed
very early on.
We showed Flannery O'Connor's on Wise Blood.
How's that?
It was a very disturbing film, and made everyone kind of like, wow.
Hope he's making that.
Made him think too much. He wasn't laughing enough.
So is that kind of the goal, to get people to think a little different or think too much?
Just to absorb the film, discuss it, and then make a good thing about it.
Okay.
Like everyone first was down on Rocky Horror, then became a hit. Then the room became a so-called What Is This? Then became a hit. And with Psychotronic, we find films where people are like, oh my gosh, have you heard about this film? And they're like, oh no, I can't believe that. Films like The Creeping Terror, where they filmed the movie, but they lost the actual soundtrack. So they had to dub in all the music and whatnot. It's kind of like it was an Australian film where they lost the plot was they lost the soundtrack, so they had to improv and do all the sound effects with coconuts and sound and such.
Just cutting edge filmmaking.
Yeah,
that's called The Creeping Terror.
Creeping Terror. It was about a carpet that ate people, but now we have that movie called The Bed That Eats.
Well, we just watched a movie that had a lot of objects eating people, right?
Oh yeah,
we just did House.
House.
And a cat, yeah.
Yeah, there's a cat.
It's very delicious. Creepy. And that lady. And
there's a piano that eats people. The whole house eats people.
That soundtrack is still stuck in my head. Yeah. The little piano part is so...
You can see it 100 so times, catchy. And there's always something new in that film. So I had a so-called bootleg copy. There was no subtitles. It kept saying, what's going on? But when I got my legit copy, it still was like, what's going on? Then I went to the AFI, so it was kind of like, what's going on? Do I need beer or peyote to understand this? But the thing is, I like some people, films like that, they were meant to be entertaining, and they did their job.
So yeah. House has such an interesting background, because the guy, the director, was like he was just directing commercials at that time, and that was his first like big movie. And it was billed to be, the Japanese saw Jaws, and they wanted to like make a movie that was their Jaws, and somehow House was
shocking.
Was what came from that, I guess. And like there's all these weird stories that like his daughter helped him a lot So like some of the weird horror, body horror things were just ideas that his daughter had.
It was just like, where's this going?
It's very jarring.
But it was just like the other the American horror films where the teens are the ones who are going to get it.
Uh-huh.
Just for being teens, being lustful and wanting to have affairs and sex with their counterparts, they're going to be knocked off one by one.
Mm.
And this was like majority of girls at her aunt's house, and things were not what they seemed to be.
Correct.
And that's what the movie I like about that film. You kind of like, is she really the aunt, and what's going on in this film? And the end.
So we were talking beforehand about people adding commentary to movies, and during that movie, there was definitely someone that was like, during, as you said, you don't really know what's going on in that movie. And she was like, this is not normal. And I was like, shut up. It's like, of course it's not. That's who invited you?
When did she say that?
What part?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, at the first 3 minutes, she could say that. But if she's watching it, if it's already
passed. That's the thing. It was like 30 to 45 minutes in. And it's like, at that point, like, if you didn't already figure that out.
Yeah. It's in your face. It's like this the cat, the animation, and the so-called still the stop action animation, the piano, all this really creepy that's going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a hard thing to figure out, though, is like, when is crowd participation welcome? And at Suns, it's not generally that welcome. Like, occasionally there is something campy enough. I would say maybe Ninja Zombie when we show that.
Yeah.
I imagine Ninja Zombie will be a looser.
Like, yeah, people can goof at it.
Yeah, when you're good, we like with us. When you're good, we let you go. But if you're messing things up, I will walk beside you, sit down, and say, "Hey, can't you like change your attitude a little bit?" And if they understand, they stop or leave.
Uh-huh.
And such.
Okay.
Sometimes they're just plain drunk.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I've never actually sat down beside someone. That would be cool, like during the movie.
Just pop up in there, just over their shoulder, like, hey, am I keeping it down?
Yeah. We've had people who walked in, and they walked right in front of the screen, and they think that it's art, but we're actually watching a movie, and they
this isn't art!
Yeah, and I say, hey, there are like 20 people watching this thing on the wall. Yeah, say, well, yeah, we're watching a movie. Say, why are you watching a movie in the dark? I say, well... How else are you going to watch the movie? So then a small argument or debate.
A fist fight.
Yeah. Never. No. Okay. But I didn't want to get that far, but I kept saying, could you please just we have 40 more minutes. Just leave us alone for 40 more
just
minutes.
Leave us alone. Yeah. In our dark room with our weird movies. Okay. So other than Rock and Roll, what else have you got coming up? This one, I saw Zuma.
Zuma is...
Wait, I think we have a clip from Zuma. Can we play a clip from the trailer anyways? Because it's a pretty good one.
He is Zuma, lord of the snakes, devil sent.
He just seems awesome. So tell us about Zuma, the lord of the snakes.
Zuma, the trailer is misleading. Because during the film, it's never said who he is, but if you remember the last year's Academy Award winner, the Shape of Water, Shape of Water, it was about horror films and how some monsters have human emotions, and they say, hey, there's a pretty man, there's a pretty woman. I would like to have relations with it. And we go back to the creature from Black Lagoon, where he just swam with her and grabbed her. And then you had Humanoids from the Deep, where... the creature's actor came up and raped women, which I found was disturbing. Then it was remade by a female director. And The Shape of Things in Water was the woman falls in love with the creature. Mm-hmm. And with the movie Zuma, he likes earth women. He's some creature they have in a cage, and he's like, you know what? I like you. I'm going to kill the rest of you, but I really want to make love to you. And
so it's about love.
Love, lust, and a man with a snake, two snakes around his neck.
Yeah, like two giant snakes around his neck. Well, can't he like summon all the other snakes and they kind of...
No.
Ah.
He's super strong, he's super smart, and there's no CGI, but it would have helped if there was, but it was it was one of those trailers that shows you the entire movie. If you saw the trailer, it showed you the characters beginning and how they were all knocked off, and then the movie's over. But it was pretty horrific, because you know normally you can find the weak spot of a creature, but Zuma was just kept coming back, and that kind of like the Terminator, where you thought he was gone, but he comes back as this giant shiny robot. Uh-huh. Zuma didn't do that, but Zuma was kind of like, why won't this thing die? Because they had like 20 more minutes in the script, so they padded it out, and it was like, oh, like it's like one of our favorite films, Robo Vampire.
I haven't seen it.
The movie just ends. The Robo Vampire, I'm not gonna tell you what happens, but he's just looking around the room, and it's like someone yelled cut, and they show the end like that. Turns out they made two sequels.
Robo Vampire, you thought it was done, and then the Robo Vampire's hand pops out at
not
the end
even
of the
that
credits.
They just like he's looking around the room, then it's like the end. We're like, really? It's like,
what's the background of these studios or whoever's making these movies? Like, do you seem to know a lot about?
We know that there were some things like the Bernie Act, where if it wasn't premiered in the U.S., you had access to show it, and if the movie hadn't premiered officially in Taiwan or the Turkish Star Wars,
sure,
they made their own versions of it, and the Turkish Superman is great. The Turkish Wizard of Oz, the Turkish Star Wars is great. The Turkish E.T. is they just took liberty with. They even did Young Frankenstein word for word, but and it was just like, what you need a lot of substances, no caffeine, some sedatives, a beer, and maybe a therapist in the room to talk you through it. And the Exorcist, the Turkish Exorcist, the same way. The Turkish E.T. looked like they took the Michelin Man and he was under a heat lamp for 12 hours and melted.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And it wasn't quite a Spielberg family friend.
Sounds more Cronenberg.
It was, yeah, yeah.
Steven
Cronenberg. You were in the Cronenberg world.
I just found the Turkish E.T.
it's called Batty or Bitty or whatnot.
Is it Hamodi?
That could be a different name, but...
Oh, this is Turkish E.T. 2.
Oh, my God.
See, they make sequels.
Huge, a huge, huge movie.
I mean, the kids watching E.T. were afraid to look at him. The Turkish Wizard of Oz, the Munchkins was sexually attracted to Dorothy, so throughout the movie they kept groping her.
Jesus.
And Toto was an untrained dog, and they kept running off the set. And they didn't have a curtain for the wizard to be at the end behind the curtain, and Toto pulls the curtain. Toto had run off, so they had this kind of like Dwayne Allman guy in a beard trying to hide behind this doorway, and they say, "You're on," and he pops up, "Oh, I'm the wizard," and the movie's over. It was just like...
See, it's just about getting it done.
You knew the story, but the way they filmed, like... It helped if you read the book or saw the American version, because right now we cannot do it. The Turkish Star Wars, which was I can't explain it.
Yeah, I've seen the Turkish Star Wars, and it has like a couple clips.
Yeah,
the use of like the space battles and everything.
The Man Who Saved the World.
Is that wait?
And then it's also a Turkish Star Trek, which is a comedy.
Ooh.
And the best part about Turkish Superman was. You could actually they could not afford any special effects. They actually used Christmas ornaments for the planets on a black background, and they used a Superman action figure on a string flying in front of a television with stock footage. And it was just like you had to suspend your logic, and like, this is like a kindergarten display of a major motion picture.
I wonder if they've made like a Turkish Enter the Void or anything.
Just, I'm sure they have.
See their budget version of that.
Unintentionally, I'm sure they have done that. You know, it's even great.
It's even weirder.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting schooled today on weird cinema. Let's play another song from the Rock and Roll soundtrack. Maybe the Lou Reed, My Name is Mock one. And then let's talk about old theaters in DC.
Yeah.
All right, Mock.
I like that a lot.
Yeah,
I haven't heard that before.
It's pretty cool.
It's a good song.
Yeah, but
sounds like T-Rex also.
Yeah, it does. Bowling. But the thing is, like, when they do these like rock animated films, they have some great or bad songs, but somehow they don't quite work. Like, there should have been a little like short. It should have been like really short films, but they put it together. And the songs are either great or not great, and then the movies get forgotten.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you can find a lot more of the soundtrack on YouTube or online than you can of the movie, actually.
And like the movie Heavy Metal, I grew up with the magazine Heavy Metal, but the movie was kind of like, it didn't have the so-called edge of the magazine.
Sure.
The music was good, but it didn't have that so-called, like, awe, and this is great. It was more like cartoons with some good music, and then it's over with.
See, I was really young when I watched that, and I thought it was pretty edgy, but I'm sure looking back, it's barely edgy.
I grew up backstage at the Warner Theater. I was a state fire marshal, elevator operator, stagehand, security. So I got to hang out with a lot of performers and artists and, you know, find out if they wanted, like, booze after 2 o'clock, I knew where to go. If they wanted some pancakes at 4 in the morning, I knew where to send them and such.
Nice. Like, which artists? Tell us about the theaters, the artists, all
like
of it.
Like, with the B-52, they were, like, part vegan, and the caterer had, like, a meat platter for them. So I would go out and find them some Indian food, some vegan food.
All right.
And people like Johnny Lydon, Public Image.
Limited, yeah.
Yeah. He somehow found the air displeasing. It kept spitting all over the place.
Such a Johnny Rotten move.
Yeah, and he just kept, like, saying, dude, that's so unsanitary. Try to like help people like watch all over there. There's spit over there. There's phlegm over there. There's phlegm over there. And
sorry, my British friend spits.
And with the cramps, Lux Interior, he was wearing women's high heels on stage, and the stage was dry rot. So his heels kept getting caught in the the stage. He kept falling, and I was on stage with him, trying to tell him to watch out and make sure things were going on. And then the Butthole Surface were doing a song. They turned a cymbal upside down, filled it with rubbing alcohol, and set it on fire. So my job is cool. Stage fire marshal came at it. I'd stand on stage, and Seth Hurd with the IMP said, Carl, just go on stage and watch it. And they kept hitting the cymbal, and the flames got shooting all over the stage, and it would have been one of those like tragedy where like
right.
300 people died that night.
Jack, can we do that in here? Are we allowed to do this in here?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Yeah, next time you're on, Carl, we're bringing a bag of lighter fluid.
Oh, it was scary. Because, I mean, like, every time you hit that cymbal, if it spilled, it would have been like a disaster. But luckily, he got through the song, and I got the extinguisher, and I put the flames out.
Whew. Someone needed to do it.
And James Mason, they found the missing prince to The Star Is Born, I think, with Judy Garland and James Mason, and they were doing it to Warner. And there was nothing but a screen on stage. And one of the stagehands passed gas. It was very bad. And everyone stepped back. But Mr. Mason walked right through it. And his head is kind of this thing was looking like the... like that.
Man, it was Mason all the way, definitely. All right, so tell us about the old DC indie theater. Or, I mean, it's old now. Tell us about Visions.
Visions was... would have should have been like a great place that should have been not going on now, but they had very bad management skills.
This was like opened in maybe 2099, something like that. Like, and it was an independent theater down on Florida Avenue, right?
Yeah, but it's like the management didn't understand what there is and how to make money. They had a box office, but the box office was always closed, so you had to go to the concessions. So you're in line with someone buying some pizza or popcorn, and your film starts in 2 minutes. So
you're just trying to get a ticket.
Yeah, so you would get out of line and just go and
just go into the movie.
There's no usher, so they had no one to sell you tickets and no usher. So you walked in. So there you've lost your $10 or whatnot and your concession money.
This is why you got to have it all in the same room.
Yeah,
like in Sons. David just mans the concessions, watches the door.
We had a thing called Shout Out, where you were allowed to riff and talk back to the film, and it was $10. All you could drink. We had a keg of beer in front of the screen. You got a cup and you drank as much as you want, and you were encouraged to talk back to the film. But there was no box office, so people wanted in and they didn't pay and just tried to find cups in the trash. And then next door was Donnie Darko. They were always there, so they knew that there was free beer next door. So they walked in without paying, got their cups and drank the beer, and it was no profit.
Fucking Darkos.
Yeah,
those guys. Yeah.
And they were there every weekend, like the room in Rocky Horror. Donnie Darko.
Darko was like a midnight big thing.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't know that.
It was like it was like every midnight they had more people, but when they found out that there was free beer next door, they knew what the slow scenes of Donnie Darko, so they would walk over to our section of the movie.
So they came for the free beer from you guys.
Yeah.
Really.
And so so Visions lost money with the keg of beer and no ticket sales and no concessions. Because you could like just walk through the concession thing and just grab something and walk back to your theater.
Damn. That's a great model, though, if it did work. If someone was collecting ticket
they
money,
needed
it's
more
a good
people
idea.
And good management.
So we're doomed.
And no, I talked to one of the management there, and he said, "You've been doing film for like 15 years." I said, "Yes, we have." And he said, "What are your ideas for the future?" And I told him, and the next week he fired us and started doing with our ideas. I told him, like, I said, the next Rocky Horror is going to be the movie The Apple. He said, they kicked us out, and then the next 2 weeks they were like saying, starting midnight, The Apple.
Oh, they did it on their own.
Yeah.
How'd it go for them?
Well, something really bad happened to them, and they closed.
Yeah, Psychotronic's still around.
Yeah.
And they've got cursed toys to give you
cursed
at their
toys.
Movies, and they can also curse movie theaters, apparently.
Yeah. We showed a short film that had people throwing up and passing out, and we've had people say, "Please don't show this again." It was a Tom Savini film called Cutting Moments.
If you tell us about it, are we going to throw up?
Well, no. It might be a spoiler, but it involves a woman removing her makeup with a Brillo pad.
Oh, damn!
Yeah, and it's very visual.
Sounds painful.
And yeah, it was very painful. And next thing you know, this woman was on the floor. We pick her up. She says, "Carl, don't show that again." And I said, "Oh, we won't. We never showed it again."
Well,
we've shown genital piercing and Gigi Allen things, but that
shook people.
Yeah, and such.
Damn.
And we've shown a Belgian film called The Pig Effing Movie.
Oh.
And we were told, like, you can show anything in our theater.
You can curse. Or is it called The Pig Effing Movie?
Yeah, The Pig Fucking Movie.
Okay.
And this guy has a pig, and he's, like, really, really into the pig. But one of our...
they turned this into a hit show later. But
well, we re-edited Black Mirror, we re-edited it. We took the film, and my friend, I don't want to name him, but he works at Capitol Hill, took a Porky Pig cartoon. It's a famous Porky
Mitch
Pig cartoon. Where Porky Pig is upset with being a cartoon, and Daffy Duck convinces him to join the real world. So we have the cartoon end there. Then we show the man making love to the pig.
Oh, God.
And then we cut back to Porky Pig saying, "Woo, the real life is really tough." Oh, and that's all, folks.
Jesus. Oh, man.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So, you have a history of kind of pushing the boundaries of a film.
We got kicked out of the living room. What would it call this place? Because there was a scene where a guy was anally punished by everyone in the tribe. This guy, I just gave away the end of the movie. But anyway, the people in the bar said, "Carl, some of our regulars saw something, and they didn't like what they saw, so this is your last night here, okay? Because we can't be showing disturbing stuff like that. And I kept saying, well, they laughed at it. They were looking at it. They could have turned around and not looked at it, but like we they were in one part of the bar and we were in the other side. So, well, I'm sorry, Carl, we can't have that here. And that was our last week there.
So there's a long list of places you've been kicked out of then, right?
Yeah. And then of course there was the Nick Zed incident where we at Stetson.
You were telling us this, right?
Where we asked Nick, we said, Nick, the Bush twins had just been busted for underage drinking and the ABC board is all over the place. You're known for showing some disturbing images. Are there anything in your film that's gonna make us like get arrested or thrown out? He said, no. So the film ends and there's a man lying in the bed, he's naked.
Then the film was fine, right?
The film was fine. It was funny. It was very light. It could have been shown on Nickelodeon for Nick Zed film, okay. which was like everyone was like, wow, we made it through. So the credits roll, and all of a sudden it's a scene of a guy lying in bed. He's naked. Anyway, you see his feet. There's a trowel at his feet, and you realize there's something sticking up, and it's his penis. It's fully erect. The trowel walks up and starts licking it like there's no tomorrow, and I'm yelling, "Stop the film! Stop the film!" But the bartender was playing Sudoku, and everyone was just like, oh, my God, and then it fades out. And Nick was just like laughing, like, ha, I gotcha.
Was that also one of the last nights?
Hmm?
Was that also one of the last nights?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, you're kicked off of that one.
We weren't quite invited back because people were like, yeah, what we saw was a chihuahua human husbandry, and
I wish Jen Tisdale was here today. We were gonna have another guest on today, and she owns a chihuahua, and I would love to get her thoughts on chihuahua relationships. Jesus. But fortunately, we couldn't today.
Yeah,
not in that way. Just the breadth of chihuahua. I'm gonna back out of this.
Yeah.
How do you, this is a real question, like how do you deal with, you know, people are sensitive about things and sometimes like trash, exploitation movies and stuff, they can bother people, but there still is a place for them, there still is an art form. It's really nice to see that you're doing something with it.
Some people want to be shocked together.
Yeah.
Some people want to sing together, and some people want to, the rape revenge films, I Spit on Your Grave. I didn't want to show her, but people kept saying it's such a cult film. She does get revenge on the people who did it wrong. But I was like, I don't want to go there. But it was one of those, like, the people, the audience, they really wanted to see this film. And we got it, and we showed it, and it was kind of like, okay, folks, the movie's over with. Like, yeah.
But do you feel being able to talk about it after, I don't want to say justifies. You don't need to justify movies.
We always talk about films at the end, unless it's very disturbing. Like
or people are throwing up.
Well, that, we've had a lot of people saying that was so bad, Carl. But I'm glad I saw it, so now I don't have to rent it, and we've done our job.
So you might shock the hell out of them.
Shock them.
But you'll save a couple bucks.
We might bore them. This one film we showed a couple of years ago, everyone walked out. And I said, okay, folks, I understand you don't like the film. I stopped it. Now it's door prize time. And everyone walked back in and gave away the prize. And then people won, and then they walked out. No one discussed the film. And I had actually.
And this was Spider-Man 3.
No, it was something called Frankenstein something. And it turned out it was two parts, and I didn't even know it. It was a two-disc DVD set, and I never made it past the first DVD. And such. And we've had filmmakers who were very untalented, and people were saying, Carl, don't show this guy stuff anymore. But he listened to the feedback, and the next year he won our audience award for the best film.
Huh. All right.
Yeah, so that sometimes feedback is good, you know.
Get back out there. Try it again.
Say, like, get better. You don't do this, don't do that. Turn on the CGI, edit stuff. But we had it, and he won the, he won the award. They kept saying, you mean you're going to let this guy show his film? I said, yeah, we cannot deny him, so... They watched. They say, "Oh my gosh!" And he won. You know, it was incredible.
Wow,
what was the film or films or filmmaker?
I'm sorry, Rock Savage, but he's
add him to the burn list. Yeah. On the Sun Cinema.
He's a local filmmaker that does his own type of film, kind of like what we're doing in 2 weeks with Charles Cullen. Charles Cullen is like the Ed Wood of Richmond, Virginia.
This is the fucking end of
the day the whole fucking world blew up.
The day the whole fucking world blew up. That's the one.
Yeah, he did a film I love called Super Badass. He's a master of puppetry. He's a musician. Master. He can tap dance. He can direct produce. He does everything. He has a farm. He does ceramics. Man, it's like, you know,
cool.
Jack of all trades.
He's a master of puppets.
Yeah. Although his puppets. One of his other films, Killer Clowns from Kansas on Crack, has some offensive puppets in it. But
I almost spit out my coffee.
It's a pretty fun movie.
Like,
I want to get him to AFI and want to do a whole retrospective of his films.
That would be cool.
That'd be awesome.
Or Sun Cinema. Yeah. Know this other. I've never heard of AFI, but it sounds cool. Oh, whatever. But we got this place called Suns.
Yeah, all the Suns. Sure, yeah,
it's better. It's better.
Yeah,
it's bigger. here, let's talk about Sun Cinema. Halloween October month. I know we've talked about it a lot, but we'll just go over like the things that are coming up in this next week, and you can shit on them.
Oh no!
Just tell us what wouldn't pass.
The
Psychotronic.
No. You never know. You cannot call anything.
That's true.
Except
Apple was going to be the next Rocky Horror.
Yeah, that movie is still debatable. I still think that they filmed the outtakes and left them in the film, and the actual music is on the floor someplace. That's what I felt about the film. Like I'm saying, it's like they showed the dress rehearsal as the main song things, but the actual film was not put. Someone had reversed it.
Ah.
And my friend Jonathan, sorry, Jonathan, I mentioned your name. You said don't mention it, but I mentioned it.
We know Jonathan.
Jonathan. He likes the film. I like it too, but I swear that the music numbers were just like, they could have just done a whole lot better. And then, of course, the ending. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but the ending is a sweet jaw-dropping moment.
Ooh.
You like try a little tenderness. Like, wow. Didn't see that coming.
Let's talk about things we do see coming, including tonight, Mother Joan of the Angels. Tell us about this week, David.
Yeah, I don't know much about that. It's a part of our like Polish horror series that we're doing this month on some of the Tuesdays. We did the Hourglass Sanatorium, which is a really cool movie that I was telling Carl earlier. We talked about this last week. The one review from like Empire was like Terry Gilliam wish he made this movie. And honestly, that does make sense watching it. Like it was very surrealist and like super psychedelic all over the place. You didn't really know what was going on half the time. But was a cool movie that at the end everyone sat around and was like, okay, so what was that actually about? And like, so that was cool. Don't know much about the one
Mother Joan
night. It's about like nuns. It's black and white. It looks like some nuns. I think she's possessed. Nuns
exploitation film.
Yeah. Nuns exploitation.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
What have we got tomorrow?
Oh, tomorrow we're just Brian and I are making some drinks.
Yeah.
Called Cocktails from the Crypt.
Cocktails from the Crypt.
We're going to put on some stuff in the background and make some drinks.
And no Mickeys, of course.
No what now?
No Mickeys.
No Mickeys. Yeah. No. Well, maybe.
Good. thinking a lot of, we're just going to show a lot of ghost tale, horror tale kind of episodes of TV. So we might do like a lot of the Treehouse of Horror, Simpsons, some Tales from the Crypt.
Some punny drinks that have horror references, maybe, more or less. I'm working on one.
Are You Afraid of the Darks? Maybe a couple.
Yeah, maybe.
The original with Kim Darby?
Just the TV show from Nickelodeon, daytime, afternoon, ghost stories.
Because there was a famous movie, made for movie TV called Are You Afraid of the Dark with Kim Darby about this woman who hears voices under her bed. And there's no CGI, but it terrified all the kids who saw it in the 70s.
And then they started Midnight Societies in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And then we got a TV show.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. It was the back story of all that.
Yeah.
Thursday night, we're showing a movie called Phantasm, which I'm sure you're very familiar with.
Like, boy, that little silver ball and the Agnes Grimm character and such.
Yeah.
Looks yeah, that we'll movie do a was good a talk hit on. For 2 years.
Wait, what? What, Jason?
That movie was a hit for 2 years.
Yeah, even longer. They played it again last week at the AFI. And with they had director. A director there, yeah.
Yeah. He was going to come to Sons, but then, I don't
you
know.
You know, we didn't want to really have him.
Yeah. Friday night, we're doing Tetsuo, the Iron Man, and potentially also House again, but...
We gotta
figure that out.
Tetsuo the Iron Man is like, try to limit your coffee intake, because the movie is very jarring.
Yeah. It's all within an hour, too, right?
It's yeah, but it's just like... It's just like
nonstop.
It's just like... In your face, like... what's it called? Hyperpunk?
Cyberpunk?
Yeah, cyberpunk. It was like the beginning of it. It was like, whoa, just like, you know...
Yeah.
Scary fun, what's going on, black and white. I think maybe some color.
No, it's a black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just like having your teeth drilled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems very visceral.
And
then a little known movie on Saturday.
Little well-known movie, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Elm Street.
What's that about?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Someone who couldn't sleep?
Yeah, something about, I don't know. Anyways, and then Sunday, we've got Kwaidan. Ever seen it?
The Japanese film?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a basic,
The epic?
Yeah.
That's kind of up your alley. It's got some real psychedelic looking.
Great scenery. Very, very surreal, spooky, and, you know, stays with you, gives you good nightmares.
And I forgot, the four tales in it are from something, but I'm not going to remember right now. And I'm not going to Google it.
And then next Monday we're showing, I think this one's already sold out, Silence of the Lambs with a drag show. Should be super fun.
Yes.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
Yeah, it'll put the lotion in the basket, basically.
I hope that there's someone that brings a basket and lotion.
Yeah.
There's got to be someone.
But you can start your own midnight movie with that. Bring your own props and your lotion, you know.
Would you like a beer, liquor,
Silence of the Lambs is
popcorn,
too intense for a midnight.
Lotion in a basket, vegan pork rinds. We've got it all.
Yeah.
Throw that on our menu. Let's listen to the sweet voice of Cheap Trick's Om Sweet Om from Rock and Roll and play us out. And Carl, any last things? Anything we should see coming up?
We're going to be showing the animated version of Night of the Living Dead the end of October. It's like, I think it's over 100 or over 50 illustrators that do their own rendition. Like they all do at least a minute a piece. And it's great.
Is that like the 29th, 30th, something like that?
End around that time, right? That's Halloween.
We'll plug it again. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks,
Carl. Some Cheap Trick.
I like you, and I like this town. I mean you, and this wonderful town. I like you. You put a smile.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.